This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our bodies, our hearts, our souls, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So if you would indulge me for a minute, I have an exercise. Some of you, if you're in my small group or attended our youth ministers event last weekend, you did this. So I'd like you to pretend that there's a clock on the ceiling. And you're going to point at the clock, and it's not a digital clock, it's a regular clock, okay? So point at it, and then follow it around clockwise. And just keep going around in a circle, around and around and around. And watch the tip of your finger, around and around. And now bring your finger down, and keep watching it. Keep circling, keep bringing it down. And below your nose, keep watching it. And now what way is it going? Counterclockwise. How many of you got that? How many of you did not get that? Let's do it again. Look up. Clock. Counterclockwise. That goes to the right, if you didn't remember. Clockwise, circle. Keep circling. Watch your finger slowly come down, clockwise, clockwise, clockwise. Under your nose, keep looking. And what do you have? Counterclockwise. If you didn't get it, you can go home and practice. It'll be okay. I didn't get it the first time I did it, and several of us didn't. The way we look at things matters. We look at it this way, it's clockwise, this way, counterclockwise, and we're doing the same motion. I see some of you still practicing, that's good. The way we look at our lives matters and changes and grows and hopefully evolves, hopefully. The way we look at our bodies, our families, our friends, our relationships, our church, it's important to examine how we are looking at things, especially if we profess to be Christians and we have this lens of love. Now, in our small group series, the first week, it was our introduction to this study of way of life, and Brian McLaren gave us an introduction, and we asked ourselves the questions. I talked about it in my sermon last week. Who are we as Christians who follows Jesus on the cross? What do we do as Christians? We were asked to take up our cross and follow him last week. And it's not just carrying our burdens and following behind. It's knowing that we can be transformed in Christ, minute by minute, day by day. And it's a constant evolution. So those were the questions we were asking. This past week, in our second week of this series, we began in earnest looking at three movements. Brian McLaren calls them three migrations. And the first that we talk about this past week and today is our spiritual migration or evolution or awareness. Hopefully, we can raise our consciousness this week. In our spiritual awareness, that means we have to take a look at how we are looking at the world and whether, as Christians, we look at the world through this lens of love. In our first reading, we heard the Ten Commandments, right? Jesus then would later summarize them, the first four being love God, the last six being loving your neighbors as yourself, and he summarized them by saying, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Most important thing, it's all about the love, all of it. And in this second week, we also took a look at today's gospel. It was part of the series for this week. And we're to ask ourselves, in our spiritual awareness, what tables need to be turned? What do we have to really admit about ourselves and risk being vulnerable a little bit? What tables need to be turned in our own awareness? And he goes through this gospel story, and if it's new to you, it was the Passover. Jesus was Jewish. He was coming to Passover, coming to Jerusalem with all of the other people coming from long, long distances. And because they came from long distances, they had to bring, when they got to the temple, they were supposed to have animals to sacrifice. So we think of it now, and we can't understand it. But they had to bring a sheep or a dove, cattle, and they were part of the burnt offering. Now, because they were coming from so far away, if they couldn't bring these animals with them, then they had to purchase them at the temple. They had to pay for them. They also had to pay the temple tax. And they had to pay for this tax and for whatever animals they might buy with the Jerusalem currency. So if they were Greek or Roman, they had to go to the money changers, just like if you're traveling in a foreign country, you've got to do a money exchange and then have the interaction, and then they would have the animals and they could go into the temple for worship. And Jesus comes and he goes nuts. This is crazy. And he casts them all out. Now, we've heard this story our whole lives, most of us, and it's usually taken at face value that this is a house of worship, he's saying, not a place of commerce, and that is true. And Brian is asking us this week to go a little bit deeper, to ask ourselves again what tables need to be turned. And further, not only that, but that our bodies are the temples of the living God. They asked him, what sign are you going to give us that what you're saying really has authority? And he said to them, well, this temple will be knocked down and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they didn't know that he was talking about himself. And now that becomes our salvation, our way of looking at our own times. When we fall, we are to be transformed in Christ and to rise again and again. And again and again, because we carry the holy with us. We're made in the image and likeness of God. This can be really tough. It can be very tough to see all aspects of our lives, all relationships, through a lens of love. Now, notice I said all. If we think of those relationships that are difficult for us, those situations that we would rather just ignore, it's tough to act in the way of love, this way of life, as our series is called. What we do within ourselves for our own awareness toward love and toward peace ripples out from there to our families, to our friends, to our communities, and to our world. It is a truth. It's a universal truth. So you may be sitting there thinking, yeah, but how am I supposed to do that? My heart is broken for what's going on lately in the world. My heart is breaking for what goes on personally with things that I have had to do or grieving or illnesses. How am I supposed to stretch and shift my perspective? It's a tall order. In the back of Brian's book, the regular book, it even gets tougher. He quotes Scott Peck from a book maybe some of you remember called The Road Less Traveled from the early 70s. He quotes him, and listen to this. It gets tougher. Life is difficult. This is a great truth, one of the greatest truths. It is a great truth because once we truly see this truth, we transcend it. Once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. Because once it's accepted, the fact that life is difficult no longer matters. You talk about raising our consciousness. It's asking a lot. This love stuff is not just pablum and not just some pie in the sky. It is radical and difficult and beautiful all at the same time. Now, before you write me off completely already, I'd like to introduce you to Nolavi. She's a young woman that you'll have the opportunity to meet this Wednesday night. She is from Madagascar. She is a young mother, a young wife, and she's in the process to the priesthood, and she'll be the first woman ordained in Madagascar to the priesthood. She's friends with Bishop Todd and Patsy McGregor, who we know as the missionaries in Madagascar. They all live together in the slums. And Bishop Todd and Patsy sought to go there to do their work, and they were living in the slums. Nolavi was their next-door neighbor. Her father, for lack of a better word, was the local witch doctor. And she became friends with Todd and Patsy, and little by little by little by little, her heart was transformed into following Christ. So too her father. Her husband is now a priest. And now she's coming to South Florida, coming to the United States for the first time, and I was able to spend about an hour and a half with her last Wednesday. She's coming through South Florida on her way to New York City because she's going to represent Madagascar as a woman at the United Nations Women's Summit. Can you imagine? When she came, I said, "Is this your first time to the States?" And she said, "Yes," and her eyes were really big, but she was jubilant. Jubilant. They have a tough life there. I haven't been there. Father Marty visited there, and he can concur. It is not easy living in Madagascar. And yet, in her suffering, and believe me, there's suffering, she still finds a way to transcend that suffering in the love of Christ. Doesn't mean it's not still difficult. For example, I had asked Patsy when she was here, they make beads out of bulletins, and she's going to be selling them. Patsy took bulletins back from our church, and they made beads out of them, and you'll see, they're amazing, and they're going to be for sale on Wednesday night. But I said, "Well, Patsy, if they make them, why don't you just mail them to us, and then we can sell them on a regular basis?" And she laughed. She said, "We don't have a post office." Man, she got me. They have no infrastructure. When you meet Nolavi, you'll understand this quote by Scott Peck and this mission of Brian McLaren yet a little bit more. Our pain and our suffering can be transcended and transformed. A news item came across my phone yesterday from National Geographic, and there's a group in Nairobi called Artists in Africa. And they are working with young boys and girls there and teaching them ballet and classical music. And the pictures are beautiful. If you just Google National Geographic and ballet in Nairobi, it'll probably come up because they're photographs of the week. And they're, behind them is just this, you know, drab, dirty, ugly room. But they are beautiful and dancing and shining. And again, transcending that pain and the difficulty. Richard Rohr says, "Pain that is not processed is passed on." I'm going to say that again. Pain that is not processed is passed on. So anything that comes up for us, any difficulties in our relationships, if we are looking, truly looking in the eyes of Christ, in the lens of love, then we will do everything we can to try to process that pain. And if we need help doing it, so be it. It's important work for us and for peace and for love in our own lives and in our families' lives. And if your heart feels broken, he invites us to look at, rather than a broken apart heart, as a broken open heart. Very different. He invites us, instead of an unresolved and festering wound within ourselves, to an openness to hold both despair and joy. Instead of allowing life's problems to define us for the rest of our lives, we choose God's love to guide us. Our homework this week for Brian's series was to take the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter that you hear about in weddings, and you hear it, you heard it in my sermon last week because it was the scripture chosen at the funeral of one of the 17 that were shot at Parkland. They chose the love chapter. He chooses it as our homework for this week. No small God incidents, as I like to say. And the homework was that we read this at least once every day, and then we take a look for opportunities to put the chapter's words into practice with our neighbors, ourselves, and God. Things like patient, kind, not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, does not insist on its own way, and on. You're familiar with this. I made copies of it, and there's a little stack of them in the back if you want to pick one up and join us in this homework if you aren't in the series, or even if you are and you want copies. It's powerful and will transform our relationships, but we have to be willing, and we have to be willing to be vulnerable in it. Many of you already are. I see it happening. Last week, a couple in our congregation made their way across the state to go to the sister's home of the woman. And it was 30 years chained to her alcoholism. And they thought she was going to die. She wouldn't answer the phone, wouldn't come out of the house. So they drove over there. It took a long time, but they finally got in the house. It was a mess. The other sister flew in. They did an intervention of sorts, and they got this woman to go into treatment, and she's there now. They were courageous. They weren't arrogant about it, and it was tough stuff, but they took love with them. They took love with them. Another woman in our congregation, and many of you know many people like this, she's facing tremendous difficulties. She has a very, very chronically ill husband. She has another member of her family with mental illness, another member of her family with another kind of illness, and on and on. And she is able to find time for her art and for interaction with other people and for her prayer life. And she is not letting that define her life. It's tough stuff. And yet it's happening. Another troubled teen and a single mom are undergoing counseling and transforming their relationship. It takes courage. It takes patience. Teens with adults right beside them, like we talked about last week, are going to be going up to Washington, D.C. for this March for Your Life in light of the shootings in Parkland. 14 youth from St. Gregory's, 2 from here, and adults going with them, with many people from around the country, going to insist on love, to insist on social change. Love is patient, but not weak in any way. Our youth group today, or this week, has been making part of a project called Kindness Rocks. And they're going to be bringing rocks to Unplugged and giving them out if you want to come back for another service. It's their way of also spreading that love. In the face of whatever suffering is going on, maybe that little rock would remind us to center back, to circle back to the truth of ourselves, made in the image and likeness of God. And to have courage, we don't do this ourselves. We do this in and through the power of Jesus Christ, in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the surety of our Creator God being with us. And we can rely on that truth and turn over some tables in our own lives and bring peace and joy and love to this world. Amen.